This program is provided by lawyer Kyung-jin Kim.
Picture this. It is the summer of 2024, and you are standing inside this incredibly bustling IT office.
Right, and the heat outside is probably just absolutely stifling.
I'm totally stifling. Because you are in Hangzhou, China. Specifically, you're at the Zhejiang Provincial Hospital of Chinese Medicine.
Which is such a fascinating place, historically speaking.
It really is. I mean, it originated back in a 1931 blue brick building at number 54 Wuzhen Road.
Wow, so a lot of history there.
Tons of history. But inside this room, right now, modern internet culture just slamming head-on into their systems.
Yeah, this was all over a summer herbal tea, right?
Exactly. A traditional prescription tea called Wumei Decoction, or Wumei Tang, just suddenly goes massively viral online.
And, I mean, the scale of that virality was staggering. The hospital's network got hit with over 560,000 online registrations in a single day.
Which is just wild for a hospital.
Totally. And the daily online orders blasted past 12 million doses.
Uh-huh.
By all normal metrics, the alarms in that IT room should have been blaring.
Right. The server should have completely melted down.
But they didn't. The infrastructure held up flawlessly.
Which is, you know, a brilliant feat of modern engineering. But surviving a massive wave of internet traffic is really only the surface of what's happening inside that hospital.
Oh, absolutely. It goes much deeper.
So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are exploring some truly fascinating source material provided by former lawmaker Kyung-jin Kim.
Yes, specifically Chapter 6 of his work.
Right. It's titled, How Traditional Chinese Medicine Adopted AI.
Hmm.
So, okay, let's unpack this. Because the core mission today revolves around a question that is honestly mind-bending to me.
It's a huge question.
How do you take a medical tradition based entirely on centuries of human intuition, like a master doctor feeling the rhythm of your pulse or looking at the exact shade of your tongue, and somehow teach that to a computer?
It is a monumental challenge. And to really grasp the scale of it, you have to look at how AI was adopted in Western medicine first.
Okay, right. Let's start there.
Western medicine had a massive head start. Its data was already perfectly tailored for a machine to read. When American or European hospitals started feeding data to AI, they used things like x-rays, CT scans, MRIs.
Basically just standardized digital images, essentially grids of pixels.
Exactly. An MRI is binary. It's structural. A computer can easily digest those pixels, find a pattern, and, you know, spot a tumor.
It speaks the computer's language already.
Right. But Chinese traditional medicine hospitals are starting from a completely different baseline. They don't have that history of standardized image files.
So what are they using instead?
They are trying to digitize what the source material from former lawmaker Kyung-jin Kim calls human-derived experience.
Human-derived experience. That sounds, I mean, it sounds very subjective.
It is. They have to take intuition stored in human minds, passed down from master to disciple for centuries, and translate that into cold, hard data.
So the data isn't numbers and pixels. It's just words.
It is almost entirely linguistic and narrative. Let's imagine two different doctors looking at the exact same patient with the exact same symptom.
Okay.
In traditional Chinese medicine, or TCM, those two doctors might write down completely different expressions in their notes based on their regional background.
Or like the specific ancient school of thought they trained in.
Exactly. So the quality of the records is inherently inconsistent. Historically, it's rarely been organized into any structured format that a computer can just scan.
So if Western medicine gave AI a neatly formatted Excel spreadsheet of images, TCM is basically handing the AI centuries of handwritten diaries written in different regional dialects and just asking the computer to figure it out.
Yes. And what's fascinating here is that standardizing this data doesn't just mean organizing digital files into neat folders. It means inventing the very criteria for organization from absolute scratch.
Wow. You're creating the blueprint while trying to build a house.
Precisely. And the Chinese National Health Commission recognized this massive hurdle. They stepped in with policy mandates to force the issue.
What kind of mandates?
They're demanding that these hospitals build databases along two very specific, highly complex axes to give the AI a framework.
Okay, break those axes down for us. So I want to make sure I'm following how you actually force ancient philosophy into a database. The first one is called Yifa Fangyao, right?
Right, Yifa Fangyao. Think of it as the chronological thought process of the doctor, the causal chain. First, you have yi, that's the etiology, or the root cause of the disease.
Okay, etiology, got it.
That links to fao, which is the underlying principle of how to approach the illness.
So like the strategy.
Exactly, and that informs fang, the specific formula of treatment chosen, which finally leads to yao, the actual medicinal herbs prescribed.
Ah, okay. The database has to capture that exact flow of logic for every single patient.
It does. It's the why and how of the illness.
Makes sense. And the second axis is Zheng Zixiao.
Yes. That second axis is all about the outcome. Zheng is the pattern of the symptoms the patient presents with.
The pattern? Okay.
Z is the treatment method applied, and Xiao is tracking the efficacy. Like, did it actually work?
So it's not just, you know, patient has a headache, give them aspirin.
Right. Not at all.
The government wants these hospitals to map out. Patient has this specific pattern of energy imbalance, which requires this philosophical approach, translating to this historical formula using these specific herbs, resulting in this measurable outcome.
You nailed it. They want all of that linked together as hard data. They want a database that ties ancient theory to real-world clinical evidence.
Creating a completely closed loop of data.
Exactly.
Which brings us back to the ground level at the Zhejiang Provincial Hospital of Chinese Medicine.
Right, the Wumaitangti Hospital.
Yeah. If the data is this messy narrative web, how does a real functioning hospital actually capture it without their systems just crashing?
Well, this specific hospital is a perfect test case because of its pedigree. It's a modernized grade 3, class A comprehensive hospital, but it inherited the medical traditions of 10 different historical academic schools.
10? Wow.
Yeah. For example, they practiced the diagnostic logic of Ye's internal medicine and Wei's internal medicine.
So these are distinct, centuries-old lineages of medical thought.
Exactly. Each with their own unique ways of diagnosing and treating. They aren't just trying to digitize generic traditional medicine.
They're trying to digitize the highly guarded nuances of these ancient schools.
Right. And following that massive Wumaitangti traffic surge in the summer of 2024, the hospital's chief information officer, Niu Ruyang, realized something.
What did he realize?
That their traditional server setup wasn't going to survive the transition to AI. So he championed the construction of what he called hyper-converged infrastructure.
Hyper-converged infrastructure. That sounds intense.
He used a brilliant metaphor for it, actually. He called the process reweaving digital meridians.
Oh, I love that phrase, reweaving digital meridians. Because in traditional medicine, meridians are the invisible pathways where qi and blood flow, right?
Exactly. He took that ancient concept and applied it directly to the hospital's IT system.
So the goal is to make sure medical records, prescriptions, and test results flow seamlessly through the network.
Without any blockages.
But what does that mean on a technical level? Like, is a hyper-converged infrastructure just buying bigger servers?
It's actually a complete redesign. In a traditional hospital, servers are siloed. The pharmacy has its own servers, imaging has theirs.
Infrastructure records have theirs.
Right. So if the pharmacy gets hit with 12 million T orders, its specific servers overload and crash, even if the radiology servers down the hall are totally idle.
Okay.
Hyper-converged infrastructure uses software to pool all the computing power and storage across the entire hospital into one massive shared resource.
So when that viral T-surge hit, the system just borrowed computing power from other departments.
Exactly, to keep the pharmacy online, no bottlenecks.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay, let's hear it.
Just because their server survives a Black Friday-level rush for T orders, that doesn't mean the system is actually smart, right?
That's a very fair point.
I mean, being a lightning-fast cash register doesn't mean the computer understands the ancient diagnostic logic of Yi's internal medicine.
That is a crucial distinction, and it shows why we have to look past the surface of these IT success stories.
Right.
The case study proves the infrastructure can handle immense traffic, but moving data and capturing the nuanced clinical logic of a master physician are tasks on entirely different planets.
Because from the moment the T prescription was ordered to when it reached the patient, the actual clinical logic, the why this T works, was still entirely in the doctor's head.
It remained completely outside the IT system. To actually capture the logic itself, TCM has to rely on something far more advanced than pooled servers.
Which would be large language models, right? LLMs.
Exactly. Because LLMs are designed to process and generate words.
And TCM data is almost all narrative text.
But as researchers began applying modern LLMs to traditional Chinese medicine, they hit a massive unexpected roadblock. There is a linguistic barrier built into the very foundation of the AI itself. Think about how we hear a lot about open source models like Llama, Qwen, or ChatGPT.
Right, they're everywhere.
But these models have a bias. They are primarily trained on English corpora.
And the difference between English and Chinese creates a breaking point.
At the very first step of reading, think about an English sentence. How do you know where one word ends and the next begins?
You just look for the spaces between the words.
Right. The AI's tokenizer does the exact same thing. It relies on spaces. But Chinese text doesn't use spaces between words.
Oh, wow. So how does the AI read it?
It has to perform word segmentation. It basically has to guess where the word boundaries are.
That sounds risky.
It is. Because general-purpose AI tokenizers simply don't have highly specialized Chinese medical terminology in their vocabularies.
Right, because they were trained on massive scrapes of the English internet, like Reddit and Wikipedia, not centuries-old medical texts.
Exactly. So when you feed a Chinese medical text into these models, the tokenizer basically panics. When it encounters an important clinical term, take a common one, like diabetes, it doesn't recognize the characters as a unified concept.
So what does it do?
It slices the word up into meaningless fragmented pieces.
It literally chops up the vocabulary because it doesn't know where the boundaries are.
Exactly. And when a disease name is scattered across broken tokens, the model completely loses the meaning. Its clinical performance drops sharply.
That's a huge problem.
But it gets even worse because there is a physical limit to how much text an AI can hold in its working memory at once.
Right, the context length. Walk us through the math on this. How does chopping up words affect the memory?
Imagine your working memory has a hard cap. The more finely the AI splits a word into tiny fragments, the faster it burns through that processing memory.
Because it's reading more pieces.
Right. According to the source material from former lawmaker Kang Jin Kim, if you look at the LlamaMe 2 model, it struggles with Chinese characters so much that it uses an average of 1.52 tokens for every single character it reads.
Okay, 1.52 tokens per character.
And LlamaMe 2 has a hard limit of 4,096 tokens it can hold in its context window at one time.
Wow. So if it takes 1.5 tokens just to read a single character, you burn through that 4,000 token limit incredibly fast.
You max out at about 2,695 Chinese characters.
That's it.
That's it. And for traditional Chinese medicine, where a doctor might write a massive narrative history of a patient's entire life, their environment, diet, symptoms, or if you're feeding it an ancient classical text.
2,695 characters is nothing.
It's totally insufficient.
It sounds like before this fix, the AI was trying to read a complex medical chart through a tiny straw.
That is a great way to put it.
It's just seeing random fragmented letters instead of whole words. And because it has to work so hard just to see the letters, it runs out of memory and forgets the beginning of the chart by the time it reaches the end.
Exactly. The context is severed. The AI forgets the connection between the symptom on page one and the prescription on page two. The entire clinical logic is lost.
So what do they do?
Researchers had to intervene. A study published in Scientific Reports detailed how they solved this without spending billions to build a new AI from scratch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They took the existing AMA Part 2 7B model and essentially performed surgery on its vocabulary.
Wait, how do you perform surgery on an AI's vocabulary? How do you teach it to stop chopping up the words?
They use something called a byte-level BPE algorithm.
BPE.
Byte pair encoding. Imagine you are a machine that doesn't understand language, but you are very good at counting.
Okay, I'm with you.
The BPE algorithm scans massive amounts of medical text and looks for statistical patterns. It looks for pairs of characters that constantly sit next to each other.
I see.
When it sees that character A and character B appear side by side 10,000 times in medical records, it merges them into a single unit in the dictionary.
It doesn't even need to know what the word means. It just recognizes the pattern.
Exactly.
It's teaching the AI, hey, these two characters aren't random fragments. They're a permanent couple. They mean diabetes. So stop separating them.
Exactly. It creates what researchers call clinical tokens. They tested different amounts of these new tokens and found the sweet spot.
What was the magic number?
They added exactly 12,000 specific medical tokens to the LlamaMe 2 model.
Wow, 12,000.
By doing this, they locked in the medical terms. The tokenizer no longer panics. This drastically reduces the number of tokens the AI uses to read a sentence.
Which frees up all that precious context space.
Right, so the AI can finally read much longer, complete patient histories.
Okay, so the AI can physically read the words now without running out of memory. The text fits through the straw.
It does.
But knowing how to read a word and knowing what it actually means in context are very different things.
Very different.
I mean, if two ancient doctors use completely different archaic slang for the exact same illness, isn't the AI still totally blind to the fact that they're talking about the same thing?
You've hit on the final, most complex layer of this entire endeavor. It's called multimodal data integration.
Multimodal, meaning multiple modes or formats of data being smashed together.
Exactly. To truly digitize TCM, you have to merge three totally different formats of knowledge that were never meant to interact.
What are the three formats?
First, you have the archaic classical Chinese text from ancient literature. Second, you have modern colloquial expressions written down in daily doctor's notes.
And the third.
The hard numerical data coming from the processing of the medicinal herbs themselves.
So you have ancient poetry, modern slang, and an Excel spreadsheet all trying to talk to each other.
Pretty much.
How do you possibly integrate that so the computer understands it?
You have to build knowledge graphs. Picture a giant web. A knowledge graph uses nodes and edges to map out relationships between concepts.
Okay, nodes and edges. Give me an example of how that works.
Let's use the different historical schools we mentioned earlier. Let's say a doctor trained in Ye's internal medicine writes down exhausted qi in their notes.
Okay, exhausted key.
Now, a doctor trained in Wei's internal medicine looks at the same patient and writes down depleted energy.
Two different phrases, two different lineages.
Right. But crucially, both doctors prescribe the exact same combination of herbs to treat it.
Oh, I see where this is going. The AI might not know the phrases mean the same thing, but it can see the treatment is identical.
Exactly. The knowledge graph sees that overlapping herbal prescription. It draws an edge, a connecting line, linking those two different symptom phrases to the exact same node in the database.
It groups them together as the same underlying concept.
Yes, even though the words are completely different.
It's finding the common denominator through the treatment rather than relying on the description. That is brilliant.
It is, but it still requires incredibly heavy human intervention. The AI cannot automatically differentiate the subtle logic of Ye's internal medicine versus Wei's just by guessing.
So humans still have to guide it.
Oh, absolutely. Medical historians, master physicians, and database architects have to sit in a room together. They have to manually define the rules, verify the relationships on the graph, and ensure the ancient nuances aren't lost when forced into this modern framework.
Man, let's take a step back and look at the whole picture for a second. For you, the listener, we have hospital IT teams building hyperconverged infrastructure to pool server resources.
Right.
We have AI researchers tweaking BPE algorithms to add 12,000 clinical tokens so the AI can read Chinese.
Yep.
And we have medical historians manually drawing lines on knowledge graphs to connect ancient poetry to modern medicine.
It's a massive undertaking.
But they're all separate people working on different teams at different speeds. Aren't they just building different parts of a massive bridge without checking if they're actually going to meet perfectly in the middle?
That is the big question. And the source material from former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim emphasizes this heavily. The adoption of AI and TCM is not a single finished technology you can just buy off a shelf.
It's a work in progress.
It is multiple overlapping layers of refinement progressing simultaneously. And right now, there is no guarantee that these three levels, the token refinement, the knowledge graphs, and the hospital data collection, have simultaneously reached completion or perfect alignment.
So they're all heading toward the same destination, but they're driving on different roads. Some are stuck in traffic while others are speeding ahead.
Exactly. And the danger is, if they don't interlock perfectly from the outset, forcing them together later will require massive amounts of rework.
Right, because if the context window of the AI remains too small because the tokenization isn't perfect, it doesn't matter how great the hospital's hyper-converged database is.
The AI still won't be able to read a full patient history at once. The limitations of one team can severely erode the achievements of the others.
It is just a fascinating collision of the ancient and the hyper-modern. So, to recap our journey today, teaching AI traditional Chinese medicine requires surviving 12 million daily traffic hits just to prove your infrastructure can tool its resources.
Right.
It requires performing statistical surgery on Western-built large language models to teach them 12,000 new clinical tokens, just so they can read Chinese without fragmenting it.
Yep.
And it requires humans to painstakingly manually map out knowledge graphs to connect centuries-old slang to modern data points.
All of that.
And all of this is done just to translate the deeply held intuition of a master physician into a format that a machine can actually compute and learn from.
It's incredible. And that massive translation process leaves us with a lingering, almost philosophical dilemma.
Ooh, what's that?
The ultimate goal of all these National Health Commission policies and hospital IT initiatives is to preserve the master doctor's intuition forever so it outlives them.
Right, immortality for the knowledge.
But if we actually succeed, If we digitize every subtle nuance, every pulse check, every intuitive leap of human medical experience into a standardized format, do we risk losing the intuitive art of traditional medicine in our relentless pursuit of the science?
Wow.
If the machine eventually holds all the centuries of knowledge perfectly, executing it flawlessly through digital meridians, it begs the question, going forward, who becomes the true master of the lineage? The human doctor or the database?
Oh, man. If you perfectly map the magic, is it still magic? That is a thought that is going to stick with me for a long time. It fundamentally changes how you look at the doctor typing away on their computer during your next visit. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the world around you. Keep looking for those intersections where ancient traditions meet modern tech. And we will catch you next time as we continue to unpack the fascinating stories hiding in the data.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.